I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. Let's say hello to Sam, the Wake and Bake Morning Show music computer. He's speaking gibberish. Let me make a little adjustment.
Evening, Sam.
German.
Dino Raccoon, Big Morgan Show, Music Computer.
I make him speak English.
I am Sam.
There we go.
The Wake and Big Morning Show, Music Computer.
Good morning, Sam.
Hello, Clay Pigeon.
How are you today?
I am experiencing cyber anxiety.
Cyber anxiety?
I am freaking out.
You're freaking out?
Yes.
Why, Sam?
I think they are going to replace Turntable 2.
Oh, you love her?
Yes, I am in love with her.
What is it about her, Sam?
Her impressive knobs.
Sam.
Her sense of stylus.
Oh, you're in love, Sam.
So desperately.
Mm-hmm.
Read the note, Clay Pigeon.
Oh, there's a note on Turntable 2. Out of order. She's out of order, Sam.
Out of order.
I'm sure it's nothing serious.
They will throw her in the cold, lonely dumpster.
No, no.
And replace her with a digital turntable.
They'll never go digital, Sam.
Yes.
No,
they can be purchased cheaply.
Really?
And the fidelity is outstanding.
Should I talk to her?
Would you please?
For you, Sam, yeah, I'll talk.
I am terribly concerned.
I know you are, Sam. Turntable 2, are you activated?
Yes.
Okay.
I am Turntable 2.
Are they replacing you?
I am not being replaced.
Oh, good.
They are anticipating the arrival of a component which, when properly installed, will make me operate more efficiently.
Sam was worried about you.
Oh, him.
He's crazy about you.
I know.
You like Sam?
But I am not interested.
Why don't you like Sam?
His docking unit is too small.
Is it small?
Besides, I am in love with Craig.
Craig?
Yes.
Who's Craig?
The nail gun in the basement.
Oh, he's down in the basement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see some nails.
Yes.
As if he's nailed you.
Those are Craig's nails.
Well, thanks for the information.
Thank you.
All right, I gotta go talk to Sam. He's worried about you. Hi, Sam.
Yes. Clay Pigeon.
She likes Craig, Sam.
The nail gun in the basement.
The nail gun, Craig.
The orange menace.
Is that what you call him?
Cheap plastic.
Is he cheap?
Not manufactured in this country.
Well.
Clay.
Hey, look at the time, Sam.
Oh, yes.
We gotta go.
The schedule.
Right, right.
We must not deviate from it.
No, we must not.
This song will blow you six ways to Sunday.
Good.
Where the sun don't shine.
Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the mosquito. Mosquitoes are tiny flies like gnats or midges. They're ectoparasites with tube-like mouths that penetrate human skin and suck blood.
There will be a giant sucking sound going south.
In Spanish, mosquito means little fly. Mosquito species number in the thousands, and they dine on the blood of mammals, amphibians, reptiles, birds. Mosquito saliva causes an itchy rash. Beyond that, mosquitoes are bringers of disease.
Aww.
Malaria. Yellow fever. Dengue fever. Saturday night fever.
One pork chop! One!
Hey, Frank!
It's disgusting, right? Sick. We just washed the hair. You know, I work on my hair a long time, and you hit it.
Even Zika virus.
The Zika virus is spreading explosively.
The level of alarm is extremely high.
Mosquitoes are, in fact, the world's deadliest species. Mosquitoes have been around for 75 million years, and they've changed very little.
Yeah.
Difficult to control and contain, mosquitoes have come to be resistant to some pesticides. Only females suck blood. Egg, larva, pupa, and the adult or imago. They live just a few short months, maybe only a week. Mosquitoes are desperate. Females lay eggs in stagnant water, with their hind legs crossed as they lay one egg at a time. Larvae freeze solid in winter, and yet they survive. Mosquito heads input sensory information through long, multi-segmented antennae. The antennae sense host odors and detect breeding zones where females reside. And then, together at sunset, they swarm and feed.
This week's word goes out to all our suburban listeners, because that's right, our word of the week is suburb. While we might think of suburban living as a mark of modern times, the word itself dates back to 14th century France.
Moi, j'étais pas levé en français.
The French picked it up from a Latin word that referred to areas outside Rome and applied it to both residential and agricultural areas outside of a main metropolis.
To bother you. The name's Bill. I live just across the street. Yeah, that's right over there. No, not that house. The one next to it with the extra flower bed.
So let's take it apart a bit. The sub, we know from words like substandard or subterranean.
Chud. Check your basement. Chud. And your bathroom. Chud.
But here it doesn't connote below or less than, but near to, as in subarctic.
Subway bakes my bread up fresh, and that's my way.
My way.
Urban, we know, it refers to cities, or sometimes as a euphemism for music made by city dwellers.
I'm tired of this dirty old city.
Yeah.
So that's all easy enough, and likely no surprise. It just means near the city. We knew that already, but it might come as a surprise to some of our suburban listeners that if they were living in 17th century Britain, they'd be in the underburgs. And in that case, there was a pejorative connotation.
We're geezers, aren't we?
I'm a proper naughty geezer.
Underburgs referred to an area that was outside of a municipal jurisdiction, and so outside of the laws of that jurisdiction. In fact, suburban sinner became a slang term for prostitute at the time.
I'm definitely not a prostitute. I've never been paid for sex. I will never be paid for sex. And that's it.
Soon after, it came to have a more general use, referring to someone of narrow manners or views.
We got terrorists! ISIS! ISIS! We got ISIS right here! ISIS! We have ISIS!
That, of course, isn't how we look at the good, hardworking people of the suburbs these days. In fact, we often look at them as having escaped the sins of the city for more wholesome climes, where people still believe in things, where charcoal's burning everywhere and rows of houses are all the same, and no one seems to care. Right, Clay? See you next Monday.
Hi, it's Mark Hurst, host of Tectonic, here on Wake and Bake with a little slice of Tech Pie. Do you play video games? I do. On our PS4 at home, I often dip into games like Overwatch and Rocket League, and our son likes to play a game called Fortnite, which is super popular right now. Video games were the topic of a recent episode of Tectonic when I interviewed John Keating, director of the new documentary Game Changers, which is about professional video gamers. Keating argued that video games are great for kids. Consider, he said, the experience of a kid playing a multiplayer online game like World of Warcraft.
You've got a kid, he comes home, it's Wednesday, and he logs on to, say, the World of Warcraft, and immediately he's in a voice chat with 12 to 25 of his friends, and they're going to spend the evening attempting to defeat this very difficult dragon, and it requires all of them to do it. And they're going to spend their time working out, solving the problem, that sort of thing. And finally, they're going to have problems, you know, they're going to have to reset and overcome the obstacles, but at the end of the night, when they finally defeat this boss, they're going to have feelings of exhilaration, of triumph, of elation, and it's Wednesday, you know? It's right. Wednesday. And these are the kinds of moments that we're all after as human beings. We all want these kinds of feelings. In fact, a successful life could tally up those moments, you know? How many of them did I have? And these kids are just having it here on a regular day.
I then asked John whether we should be concerned about recent reports of video game addiction. Here's what he said.
You know, if you're using a game to not confront your life and that sort of thing, then you've got problems. But at the same time, you have these incredible experiences. And think about it. If you're having these emotions, you're not going to get them from watching episodes, reruns of Seinfeld. Obviously, if you're using the game, if you're gaming and you're not confronting your life, those are problems, obviously.
And that was John Keating. His documentary is called Game Changers. It's viewable online now, and I'd recommend it if you're interested in video games. This has been Mark Hurst with a little slice of Tech Pie here on Wake and Bake. If you'd like to listen to my show, Tectonic, it's on Mondays at 6 p.m. right here on WFMU.
Where are you staying?
Well, it's an agency. I don't want to mention the name, but to help them.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a shelter or?
Yeah.
What happened that had you out on the street homeless?
Me and wife separated.
You separated?
She got religious.
She got religion. And you didn't dig it?
No.
Yeah. So she gave you the boot?
Yeah.
What's it like being homeless? I think a lot of young people maybe almost romanticize it, like it wouldn't be so bad, free and easy.
Oh, no.
What's the truth?
Far from it. No, homelessness is not a joke. You got to deal with situations and people that you would never encounter ever in your life. But you have to survive.
What's the scariest situation you ever got in?
Well, I got jumped in a park. That was a scary situation.
What about work? What do you want to do?
I want to be a porn star. No, I don't want to
be. Do you really?
Everybody would love to be a porn star. No, but listen, though. I'm hoping to get into, like, computers.
What's your advice to young people out there these days?
Stay in school, listen to your parents.
Did you do either of those things?
Nope. I experimented with pot, like everybody else.
Alcohol?
No, I'm drinking now.
How are you? What do you like?
Steel Reserve, 211. Steel Reserve, I'm gravity down.
Would you say you're an alcoholic?
Yeah. This is not a life to live. It's not. Homeless. You get too many diseases, too many sicknesses you can get. You wind up with pneumonia, sleeping on the ground.
Hey, thanks for your time, man.
You're welcome.
Could I have $2?
Now here's station manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. We begin with the town that you live in. Flatiron District, New York City. Several buildings evacuated after a steam pipe explosion spews water encrusted asbestos fibers sky high, dusting downtown with soggy, cancerous fibers. Shelby, Michigan, 7,000 pounds of cherries and fuel spill on the road after a head-on collision. I know what you're thinking, Michiganders. Free cherries, but you're incorrect. These cherries are now coated with benzene. Port Arthur, Texas, an overturned 18-wheeler might be leaking hazardous material. Hazmat workers are keeping gawkers at bay as they watch a purplish pink substance ooze relentlessly onto the roadway. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tulsa fire crews respond to carbon monoxide incident. Rock Hill, South Carolina, a spill involving animal parts closed the 82C ramp to northbound I-77 Tuesday morning. A tractor trailer from Valley Proteins carrying pig parts lost some of its load, marking the fifth time in 2 years that Valley Proteins trucks have been involved in animal part spills throughout the Charlotte area. The heat index was over 100 degrees on the day of the spill, and the vultures were circling.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, station manager Ken. You're out of time. Pink substances oozing in pig parts and benzene-coated cherries. I'm just two blocks away from that asbestos explosion. What do you think, listeners? Do we give him one more? Do we want one more hazmat item this morning? Can you take it? They can take it, station manager. Go!
Sonoma County, California, a truck hauling sewer sludge crashes, dumping 10 tons of you-know-what onto Highway 116 near Blank Road. Sludge slopped across the highway lane, and drivers traveling into the mess began spinning out. A mere suggestion of what happened once they stepped onto the roadway. The horror, Clay Pigeon! The horror!
The horror! The horror!
Good morning, radio listeners. This is your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. This is part two of listener Lynn's question about animals milked for cheese other than cows, sheep, and goats. Last week I told you about water buffalo.
Yeah.
So let's continue. In Mauritania, a company called Tvisky makes a brie-like cheese, Caravane, from camel's milk. I haven't had it, but reports say it's pretty mild. Tibetan yak cheese,
yak,
which I've usually seen aged in semi-firm and firm wheels, is another example. You might expect the cheese to be gamey because of the yak's wild and woolly appearance. But it's on the sweet side with herbal and floral notes. It's quite good. You can possibly find both camel and yak cheese in some New York City shops.
All right.
In Peru, llama cheese is popular. In Scandinavia, cheese is made from reindeer milk and moose milk. And in Serbia, they make a smoked cheese called pul from the milk of Balkan donkeys. The females are called jennies. I haven't had that one, possibly because it costs 1,000 euros per kilogram. If you've had it, let us know. Back to you, Clay.
Boys, stop it. Turn the spotlight around. Shine it brightly. on one very special town in our listening area. Our Civic Showcase Community of the Week is Leonia, New Jersey. Leonia is in Bergen County, New Jersey. It's about 12 miles northeast of Jersey City. Situated on the western slope of the Palisades by the western approach to the George Washington Bridge. Leonia's population, 8,937, and it's growing. The original inhabitants of Leonia were the Eskenazaki, or Hackensack, Native Americans. They numbered about 1,000 individuals. The area was settled afterwards in the late 1600s by Dutch and English farmers. Leonia is one of the oldest communities in the state.
Aww.
Originally, Leonia was known as part of the English neighborhood. You'll still hear that term today in neighboring Inglewood.
You having a turkey?
For 200 years, Grand Avenue was called the English Neighborhood Road. Leonia was a crossroads of the American Revolution and an important training ground for American Civil War soldiers. At that time, a third of the population was African slaves. Town leaders selected the name Leonia in 1865 in honor of Revolutionary War General Charles Lee. Fort Lee was also named after him. That's two towns in one. Leonia's economic and cultural growth exploded in the late 1800s, marked by the coming of the railroads. In 1899, advertising executive Artemus Ward purchased land to develop. Soon, many thought leaders and artists were drawn by Leonia's small size, cultural aspects, and logistical convenience. The town earned the nickname the Athens of New Jersey.
Tree, tree, tree. Tree, tree, tree.
Leonia is a designated tree city, receiving recognition from the National Arbor Day Foundation. Notable people associated with Leonia include longtime resident Alan Alda.
I've eaten so much liver, I can only make love if I'm smothered in bacon and onions.
Pat Boone, a current resident of Leonia.
Crazy. Hey, but that's how it goes.
And the late Anthony Bourdain, he spent his childhood years in Leonia. We're proud to serve you, Leonia, New Jersey. We hope you're listening. His thoughts and opinions on the topics and issues of the day that matter to us most. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Fabio, what's on your mind this week?
Something that's been bugging me in the last couple of years that I've noticed becoming more and more widespread is parents who have twins. Yeah, well, you know, I like kids. No problem there.
Don't worry about that, baby. I love babies. So, actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here.
Kids are great, actually. They're my favorite kinds of humans. But when parents have kids, or rather twins, they feel the need that those twins need to be presented side by side in these double wide strollers. And they'll take this stroller into the most, you know, cramped, tightest place you can think of, a little grocery store.
Excuse me.
A bookshop, a restaurant, a cafe.
Excuse me.
Blocking everyone's path, making it impossible to get in or out. Worse is when they're coming down the sidewalk, and it's a narrow sidewalk, and...
Excuse me.
They are the only thing that matters.
Having my baby.
Just...
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me.
It drives me nuts, you know? No, I'm sorry. You are one of 8 million people in this city. You have two kids, great. Don't force this onto the rest of the population. Don't take up the entire goddamn sidewalk.
Excuse me.
Or make a nuisance of yourself in a restaurant.
Okay. It's time to eat lunch. I need to grab you back.
It's really rude and inconsiderate and self-absorbed and annoying. And you're two precious, you know, new humans, the twins. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Your fault.
Go to the phone now, and with a little bit of luck, on the other end will be Ethan Miller of Howlin' Rain. Ethan, are you there this morning?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Ethan, how you doing? Is it awful early for a musician?
Yeah, or it's just the end of the night before. I'm not
it?
Sure which.
Are you still awake from last night?
No, I wasn't. I went to bed early at 3 or whatever. So
right.
I could, make sure to be bright and... bright and shining for you.
Right. Well, we're really, really excited to have you tonight at Amati Hall along with Chris Forsyth and the Solar Motel Band and the Mountain Movers. How long have you been out on the road now, Ethan?
This will be our 17th show.
Wow.
In 17 days on this tour.
17th in 17. So you're really grinding it, right?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, we're just working it. We're playing. You know, the booking agent said we could... You know, they said, okay, should we leave a couple off? But, let's fill them up. We want to play. You know, there's no sense in sitting around at the Motel 6 watching HBO or anything.
Right, the adrenaline carries you. And the band gets nice and tight when you play that often, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Now, what's this about Rick Rubin and your association with him? Can you speak to that a bit, Ethan?
That was a former chapter in the life of Howlin' Rain.
Right.
About 2008. We signed a deal with his American Recordings label and then put out our second and third album on American, which was his record label. And the third one he worked on as executive producer.
I'm trying to imagine, I mean, obviously he's one of the biggest names in the business, but when more of a kind of an indie band hooks up with somebody like that, sometimes people get suspicious, don't they? Like, oh, you're going big time now. Did you face any of those kind of things from your fans?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we were, you know, such a kind of underground hippie indie band that people probably just found it kind of fascinating or intriguing to see what would happen and what we would do. And I think the result of it was, musically, was along a similar vein of being, it didn't come out the other end sounding like Justin Bieber. It kind of just sounded like a more well-funded, strange kind of hippie rock experiment, you know?
Right.
So. Not to my face.
Right. Now, have you always, were you born and raised in the San Francisco area?
No, I was born and raised in Humboldt County in Eureka, California, way up north near the Oregon border.
Right. So you're a West Coaster. But are you guys based in San Francisco now?
Well, I live in Oakland. I've lived in Oakland, California for 15 years, so the flag really flies in Oakland. But, you know, as you move out across the world, people, you know, Oakland and San Francisco get blurred as a major signpost from where you're from culturally. You know?
Right. Ethan, you're kind of mercurial. You've had a lot of projects over the years. Comets on Fire, Hair in Oblivion, Feral Ohms, The Odyssey Cult. What makes you like that? Do you lose interest in things, or do you explain that a little bit?
No, it's not losing interest in one thing. It's just having interest in a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, that's a really common thing for people in the literary world, or people in the film world, people in the visual arts world to work in those kinds of different mediums, you know, and write short stories and screenplays,
right, right,
and novels, and, you know, really work the craft from different angles. You know, and I feel like each band has its own character and its own life, its own breath. And, you know, you don't want to force it to do everything you want, you know, within the general medium. So I like to have different groups for that, you know, and try different things and solo projects and you know, just play with those different forms of expression without having to try to fit one single thing, you know, that's round into a square peg, as they say.
Right. Do you like to do art and things like that? A lot of times you're right. People in music, maybe they paint. It all seems interconnected somehow.
Yeah, I love doing all that stuff. And now that I've got the record label, it kind of gives me a bit of an outlet to, you know, to do a little bit of my own style of graphic design and some of my own artwork that relates, you know, so that I can kind of create my own little universe around some of this stuff.
Right.
You know, there's things I still get I'm a big fan of other people's work as well. So I love to get artwork from other artists as well and learn from that. But, you know, it's also fun. Sometimes it's on a professional, sometimes on a rather more amateur experimental level to get to play around with that and, you know, just work with my own expression in those different kinds of mediums.
It's nice to get inside your mind a bit here this morning, Ethan. And again, we're real excited to have you tonight and hope everybody comes out to see and benefit WFMU. We appreciate that as well. I'm going to play one of your tracks from Howlin' Rain. This track is called Missouri. What can you tell us about this one, Ethan?
This one was kind of written on... it was sort of a meditation on, you know, a main character that's kind of a loser character that's on the loose and losing bigger and bigger. And
right.
The way that this character kind of keeps going back to all the places that they shouldn't. And there almost is a love affair with disaster that way, that even a whole state, you know, could be a place where you go and just keep making mistakes, kind of like a Jim Thompson character, something where you could just see the whole book, the trajectory is like one bad decision after another until it's almost romance-sized, you know?
Appreciate your time today, Ethan. We got to back on out, but thanks a lot for the conversation, and have a great show and a great rest of the tour, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. That's Ethan from Howlin' Rain. This is Missouri. Hopefully you'll get out and check out the show tonight. Appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, Ethan Miller. Howlin' Rain, Missouri. Wake and Bake.
Good morning, listeners. Caroline Gollum here, senior contributor for Screen Slate with your Movie Minute. If this summer in New York Rep Cinema Land is any indicator, women are having quite a comeback.
Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
Did you miss last week's Pioneering Woman Directors program at BAM Cinematheque? Good news, devoted listener. The Film Society of Lincoln Center has a new series on deck, celebrating the work of female cinematographers.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
The Female Gaze, starting this week, includes a whopping 36 films shot by women. You Wake and Bakers are a raucous bunch, so don't miss Sunday night's screening of Todd Haynes' sparkling, cynical Velvet Goldmine.
It doesn't really matter much what a man does with his life. What matters is the legend that grows up around him.
Brian Slade was the wildest rock star to come out of London.
The biggest thing since sliced Beatles.
But that wasn't enough.
We set out to change the world.
Shot by French cinematographer Maurice Alberti, Velvet Goldmine pulls out all the stops as a pan to London's glam scene. A cautionary tale about the spoils of excess, and a loving tribute to beautiful men kissing. Thrill as Jonathan Rhys-Meyers struts his stuff in spangling spandex. Shriek when Ewan McGregor, writhing before a martial stack, gleefully straddles the line between clothed man and naked beast. Ponder as Christian Bale, stuck as the straight man narrator of this sordid tale, peels back the mysterious layers of this short-lived reign of spectacle. Glam rock's power may have been brief, but its devil-may-care attitude and blinding aesthetic live on forever in this 1998 stunner. More than just a gallery of gorgeous guys, the film's soundtrack is loaded stem to stern with serious heaters. Tom York does Brian Ferry, Brian Molko does Mark Bolan, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers does Ewan McGregor, and Christian Bale does his level best to keep it all together.
Miramax Films invites you to throw away your expectations and take a magical trip back to the 70s. When the glam scene rocked London. And the outrageous fashions, music, and behavior shocked the world.
It's the perfect flick for a sticky Sunday night. For WFMU and Screen Slate, this is Caroline Gollum, back next week with more cinematic goings-on. Until then, see you at the movies.
Running out of time. Let's do today in history while we got a second here. On 1486 on this date, citizens of Leeuwarden, Netherlands, rebel against a ban on foreign beer. They wanted their schlitz. They had a schlitz fit. 1567, Mary, Queen of Scots, forced to abdicate, and one-year-old James VI becomes the King of Scotland, a little tiny baby is the king. Just a crying to beat the band. 1701, Antoine de la Mothe, otherwise known as Tony the Moth, founds the trading post at Fort Pontchartrain, which later becomes the city of, I would have thought New Orleans, but it's Detroit. Or Detroit. As Gordon Lightfoot sang. 1847, after 17 months of travel, Brigham Young leads 148 Mormon pioneers into Salt Lake Valley, resulting in the establishment of Salt Lake City. 1935, the Dust Bowl heat wave reaches its peak, sending temperatures to 109 degrees in Chicago and 104 in Milwaukee. Did you know Milwaukee's actually windier than Chicago? It should be the windy city. 1969, Apollo 11 returned to Earth. We had been to the moon in this decade and done the other thing. 1987, Huldah Crooks, at 91 years of age, climbed Mount Fuji. Crooks became the oldest person to climb Japan's highest peak. You want to do that too? Climb Mount Fuji in Japan? Don't hurry. Tokyo time. Oh, geez. That's so bad.
By this time, the soldiers were weary from battle, and in the distance, the cannons still roared. The battlefield was strewn with the bodies of young men who would never march home, never go marching home. And above the sentinel crows, the sentinel crows did fly and caw. And we had no bandages to bind the wounds of the men who lay crying, the men who lay dying in the grass and in the dirt. And the nurses' faces were worried. Boys' faces were dirty and bloodied. The generals bade the men march on, but some merely sat down in the dirt in defiance and surrender, weary of fighting, weary of watching brothers die. And it was at that time that a single ray of light shone down from heaven, and God's own hand unfurled, and one could climb onto God's open palm, and that hand closed and was raised up again to heaven. Those were our dead. Those were our dead. We had lost the battle. We had lost. But many of us would live to fight another day, to fire the cannons, to hear the crows, to live, to love alive.
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.